title on whatever you want, I guess, but you're going to make it part two. How many knows there's times, I bet you, the children of Israel thought they wouldn't make it. Even the ones that made it in. I'm sure the obstacle, 40 years, the obstacles and all of that, but there was a couple I know of that they had faith in Jehovah Jireh. They had faith in God, Caleb and Joshua. And you know what? I believe we're living in, Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to come back. I don't know the hour. No man knows the hour, but it's in the Father's hand when Jesus comes back. But I really honestly believe that Jesus is standing there waiting on the Father to say, go get them. But see, the harvest that God wants, God is waiting on, long-suffering, waiting on. The Bible says that the earth groans and travails, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. I believe that's why you see a lot of things going on in this earth. See, the more Jesus brought the kingdom, the worse things got in the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he led them right. His walk with God led him right to the cross. The Lord spoke to me yesterday. He said, see, to follow me, Jesus. He said, to follow me, he said, it will cost you everything. Now, that don't mean your house, your car, but it'll cost you your will. It'll cost you your will. It'll cost me my will. Jesus said it, for about 4 days. The Lord, my heart has just been saying, Lord, I just want your will, God. I want your will to be done in this earth, God. I want to be a vessel, Lord, that in my arena that you put me in, that I do your will, that I hear from you and carry the words like Jesus heard from you and carried the words to his disciples. And his disciples followed him. They followed him to Rome. He knew that he was going to the cross. He warned them ahead of time. I told the Lord this morning, I said, thank you, Lord, when I was coming and anointing the pews you're sitting in and asking God, Lord, let the ones that you've anointed and come to this place for your divine will, God, that even sometimes we don't know, God, but let the anointing be in the house, God, that yokes will be destroyed and darkness pressed back out of the way of the divine will that you have for everybody that comes through these doors. I said, now thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the disciples that followed your son Jesus. Lord, and they paved the way for us to walk in the liberty and victory that we have in Jesus Christ today. But Jesus went to the cross and he sent the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, according to Romans. He sent, Paul said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And if he lives in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. And I was thinking about, I preached Wednesday night and I talked a lot about our will. You know, Teresa talked about our will. You know, our will is where it crosses God's will. And where you know, where me and you individually, I don't know where God's will is in your life. I don't really know. But where, what I've discovered over walking with the Lord is me choosing my will over God's will is when God quickens me to something, or I know, I'll just say it this way, that I know that this is the will of God for me. I know that this is the will of God. Then I've got to choose to embrace God's will. Then that's when I'm following him. That's when I'm following the Lord. See, a lot of times, you know, because I believe mistakes were made just like the children of Israel in the Bible. They knew what God had told them, Mac. They're going to a land. They left out all cheerio. And they get to the Red Sea and Moses kind of nervous. And God said, stretch forth your rod. Then the Red Sea rolled back, and I can imagine if I would have been there, I'd be like, whoa, what a God. The whole ocean just rolled back. And the Bible said that they went across on dry ground. Dry, that's important. I mean, such a move of God went in and split the waters. Did it dried up the mud? You ever been to the river? Or something? You know, I mean, it just dried up. And I just imagine they were amazed. And I imagine Moses leads them across and they get across there, you know, and all of that. And the Bible said they begin to sing after the ocean closed back up and Pharaoh and all of them coming after them. And Moses told them, he said, don't fear. God said, from here out you will see your enemy no more. See, there's some things in our lives whenever we're surrendering on a continual basis to God that begins to loose us and let us go and we walk out of, that we will not have to be in and walk in no more. I don't have to walk and do the devil's will anymore, because I surrendered my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in my living room. When I surrendered to Him, I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know that it said, I give you power over all the powers of darkness. I didn't know that it said that. I didn't know that it said that for me to go preach the gospel. Proclaim the good news, hallelujah. But you know what? As I walk with the Lord, and as you walk with the Lord, He will progressively reveal Himself to you individually. He'll progressively show you the will of God in your life, and He'll show you His plan in your life. But you know, that's where trust comes in. We got to trust God. We got to trust Him. We've got to put our trust in Him. Not just a bumper sticker. You know, not just underlining in our Bibles. All that's good. Get you a bumper sticker and underline it in your Bible. And I've got mine all underlined up. Hallelujah. And I usually do that when I underline something. Back all of these years, it was because it was made real to me at the moment that I was underlining. I was like, man, that was good. Man, that was good. Then when I turn back through that Bible, I'm reminded again. Some people can't even write in the Bible. You know, they think that thing is so holy. It's a book. I know it's the infallible Word of God. I know that it's quick and living, but the Bible, Jesus told them, he told them, for they search the Scriptures, for in them they think they have life. The life is not just in the Scriptures. The Scripture without the Spirit is just like a newspaper. He quickens that Word, and it's not revealed to the world. I read the Old Testament when God began to deal with me and Teresa to go to church. We're getting stoned and reading the Old Testament. You know, and we're getting stoned reading the Bible. And I'm like, yeah, we need to go to church. Get the Bible. I used to swear on the Bible. See, what I'm saying will get on somebody's nerves. God is not religious. Jesus was not religious at all. Jesus was real. Jesus was true. Jesus was God. Jesus was not separated from God. Jesus was one with God. He was not religious. That's why when He come in to the presence of religious folk, boy, they got mad. I mean, they got mad. I've been religious before. Let me give you a little example. My pastor told me one time, he said, I want you to go home with me. I told him that I was called to preach. I felt like I was called to preach. And he didn't say nothing. He said, well, that's good, Brother Scotty. I'm good. He's probably thinking, praise God, we need another preacher. He said, well, that's good. And so about, I don't know, a week or two goes by, and I go to church one Wednesday night, and he says, hey, he said, I need you to come home with me Sunday. And I thought, come home with you? I'm going home, take a nap after church, man. You know, that was my tradition. Traditionally, what I do. How many knows Jesus is coming in and he's breaking that? He's breaking that in my life. He's coming in and he's saying, I don't want you doing your will Sunday, I want you to do my will. And so I says, okay. So I said, sure. Now that was inconvenient because I usually ride home with my wife and all of that stuff, you know. And ain't that what he told Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all of them down there fishing? He went down there and he said, follow me. I mean, they left their jobs. They left everything. I mean, they absolutely, literally had to leave everything. I mean, that was not easy for those disciples. I'm telling you right now, I don't know. I wasn't there with them, but God, but I know it is for us in this generation, and we're just disciples on down the line is all we are. Some of us call, we're apostles and prophets. And I don't care what the world or the church says, that those things have died out. That's not in the Bible. That's in Ephesians that Paul wrote after Jesus had ascended, and he wrote it in there. He gave the fivefold ministry for the building up of me and you. Hallelujah. Those gifts are still in this earth. Hallelujah. And when we honor God by honoring those gifts, Within those gifts, he will pour things through them into our life that will build us up, that will edify us. I put on Facebook this morning, I said it's time for us to assemble and gather together to worship our great God. To worship our great God and to honor him and said some things, you know. And I said, when you start to your church, I wasn't just inviting here. When you go to your church, go and pray before you go for your services. Pray for your services at your church. Go with an attentive ear, expecting God to touch you, God to minister to you. God, that's what he done. Jesus didn't tell him, Mark, come on, y'all, tomorrow I'm going to have a sermon, and I hope all of y'all get something. Martha was in there, and she's busy. Jesus comes into town, and she's in there. Boy, she's busy serving. And then Mary sits down. She's listening to Jesus, sitting at his feet, you know, or whatever. And she gets upset over there because she ain't helping her serve. I'm sure cutting bread up, whatever they were doing, meals and all of that stuff, you know, serving. And so she got mad. It was Martha, wasn't it Martha? She got upset at Mary and told Jesus, she could have helped me serve, blah, 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 you know. And Jesus, he didn't condemn Martha. You're doing a good thing serving, but she's sitting here at my feet. She's listening. She's paying attention. She's not all caught up in the world and serving and even good things. Serving Jesus is more important than good works and the things that we do and all of that stuff. It's about the will of the Father in our life, just like it was Jesus. Jesus said, He said, great works that I do, but greater works that you'll, he was telling them, look, you see me doing these signs and these wonders. You'll see me go to the cross, but you'll do greater works. But he told two of the apostles, they wanted to sit on his right and left hand. He said, you will drink of the cup. What was that cup? See, I find in my life, no, I don't got to go and go to Jerusalem, and I don't got to go, but he's commissioned me and you. And if you're called into the ministry, you need to be seeking the will of the Father. You need to be seeking the will of the Father. You need to be seeking where you go, where you preach. Jesus didn't do all that on his own. He said, I only do what I hear and see the Father. He said, without, he said, the works that does is not me, but the Father that worketh through me, doing it. Now I'm going to cover something that I tell you I believe is destroyed a lot of Christians. The Lord dealt with me real strongly about this yesterday. Galatians 5:1, it says, stand therefore in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Right? Stand fast. We are called by Jesus Christ to be free. That's our calling. Our calling from God is to be free. He said, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Give me that other scripture, about that last one, maybe Colossians 1, I believe it is. I want to read that one. Just as talking about Jesus, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I want to quote a scripture that Jesus quoted. I believe it's in John over there. I didn't understand it for a long time. And God, how many knows God will give you understanding? He'll quicken you in His time, and He'll cause you to understand. But Jesus told them, now He was talking about going to the cross. Jesus was talking about to the disciples, because they didn't understand, Mac. Jesus talked in parables and they didn't understand. In one place they said, why do you speak in parables? He said that not everybody will hear. The world ain't going to hear me, but y'all will. It's the one, the seekers hear Him. The followers hear Him. But he told them, he said, a grain of wheat, lest it die, fall to the ground and die, remains alone. He said, but if it die, He said, it'll bring a great harvest. He was telling them about Himself. He was telling them about He's going to the cross. I started to bed last night and the Lord spoke that scripture to me. And He spoke that scripture to me, and I laid down and I thought, man, if this is the Lord, I know it is. I'll still remember it when I get up. First thing on my mind was that scripture. So I went in there to Teresa and I told her, I said, what's your interpretation of this? That scripture. Lest a grain of wheat fall to the ground. And she brought up Charlie Kirk and different things. And Jesus died. And a great harvest come off of that seed. Right? Me and you. Glory to God. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That He was talking about Himself. He was a seed planted by the Father to death and brought salvation to the world. Amen. Jesus belongs to the whole world. You hear me? He belongs to the whole world. No matter what continent they're on, no matter what color they are, no matter what degree, no matter what the background, no matter, none of that matters. He belongs to the world. I've had them to tell me we're the only denomination on the way. No, He belongs to me too. Right? He belongs to the Baptists, the Methodists. He belongs to the Church of Christ. And He says, whosoever in that these denominations, we put Lave Teresa brought it up this morning. See, that brings division. That stuff brings division. And the Bible says that the ministry, that their fivefold ministry is called until we all come to the unified faith. Unified. I mean, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can do that. In the Old Testament, it says, lest God builds the house, it's built in vain. Well, we are the house of God, temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So we let God build us. I mean, and He don't necessarily do it here in church. He gives us the Word. Jesus gave the disciples, the apostles, the Word of God. And then instances come up in their life that they use the Word. Hallelujah. They put it into action. Well, I'm going there and I said, Lord, give me understanding. Because there's one thing that I don't like to do to the body, and it's been my whole Christian life, is give you my opinion. I don't want to give you my opinion, Mac. I want what the Word says. And if I don't understand it, I'm not going to come and tell you, well, I think. Because now I'm preaching to you what I think. I'm better off to go to God and say, God, I don't understand this, Lord, that you spoke. Can you give me your opinion? Not your opinion. Can you reveal it to me? Well, you know what? God revealed that to me about me this morning. He said, lest a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains alone. He said, I delivered you out of darkness and I planted you into the kingdom of my Son. You. You hear me? I didn't put them together. He did. God put them together because I asked Him. What does this mean you're telling me, Lord, this morning? What does this mean? And then I could see me. I could see me saying, God, if you're really real, Lord, help me. Out of my real heart at 27 years old. Listen, y'all young folk, it's not stupid to give your heart to Jesus. Carson just gave his heart to Jesus Christ. How old is he? 14. He's 14. I led him to Jesus, the Lord told me. He's been in this church how long? 12 years. He ain't never told me to go over there and sit down. Mom and Daddy all of a sudden was gone somewhere. I don't know where they went. I'm like, well, they just abandoned him. And I walked back through there and the Lord said, go over there and lead him to me. He's ready. I said, yes, sir. So I went over and sat down. He's playing whatever he's playing. And I said, Carson. He looked up, yes, sir. I sat down. I said, have you ever give your heart to Jesus Christ? I said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life? Have you ever? He said, I don't think I have. I said, well, do you want to receive Him today? I said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ that died for you on the cross? I preached the gospel to him. I said, that died for you, ought to be able to preach the gospel whether you are called into the ministry or not. You ought to know in your heart you did. If you didn't know, if you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus that went to that cross, died, buried, and resurrected, you're not saved. No man comes to this Father, our Father God, except through they let Jesus, they go through His life like Carson did. And I told him, I said, okay, I said, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I said, I'm going to pray first. I said, but when I start leading you in a prayer, I said, you don't say it to me. I said, you from your heart. You mean it in your heart, what I am saying, you are saying it to God. You're surrendering your life to, I made it real clear, brother, that he don't have a problem with that, whether he's saved or not. Praise God. And you know what? I thought, glory to God. He's been here now, I know, 12 years. How many knows we've seen people laying, we heard about the Bethesda pool, 38 years. That dude laid there waiting on the waters to be troubled. And here comes Jesus. And he said, do you want to be made whole? Teresa pointed it out. Me and you have to have that life of surrendering our will to God's will. Because there was multitudes, the Bible said, set laying there at the Bethesda pool waiting on a certain time an angel would come down and stir the waters. And the first one in that water would come out healed, the Bible says. I believe that, don't you? You believe what the Bible said? I believe that. Yep. Teresa brought it out, and I never thought about it. How that, when he calmed down, there's multitude. Why didn't he heal them all? I'd never thought about it, Monty. You ever thought about it? You did? Did you come up with a conclusion? What was it? Yeah. Jesus didn't do what he wanted to. How many knows we're followers of Christ? That means we learn from him. Ain't that what he told us to do? He told him, he said, come to me, y'all that's trying to figure out your life. Come to me, you're trying to figure out how the thing's getting in your way, you know, for the will of God. You're trying to figure out how to do it, and you're getting weary. You're getting tore up about it. You're worried. He said, come to me, you that you might be attacked with sickness in your body, and you're just hoping you make it to one doctor that can do something, and you go to all of them, you're still worse. He said, come to me, you that labor and are heavy burdened, weary. He said, I'll give you rest. But he went on and told us how to get it. He went on and he said, learn of me. Learn what I do. Watch him in the Bible. Learn of me. He said, I'm meek, I'm lowly, I'm humble, he said. I humble myself to God. Scripture tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of our God, right? Don't be prideful. We can't be prideful. Pride figures it all out. Us men, we're if we're not careful, we do that. You know, because we can't help. We're driven to succeed. We want success. That's God. That's God in us. He made us that way. He made us like him. Hallelujah. We're created in his image and likeness. Then when we're born again, our spirit is just, it's perfect. Your flesh might not be perfected yet, but in your spirit, you want God. You want the will of God. You're hungry to know him. You're hungry to know about him. And then when that happens after several years, if you're not careful, you let things get in the way and you begin to lose that zeal that you had back down there. All you got to do is run on back, all the way back down there. Go back and say, let's start again. But God, he was always hot. Oh, Lord, if you really, real help me. Just go back down there and say, I'm stirred up. Revelations puts it this way, friends. He said, go back to your first love. Go back down there. Hallelujah. Remember when I saved you. Remember when I brought you out on the inside. You didn't have no money, but God, you was after me. You didn't have your marriage, wasn't all fixed up, but God, but you believed I'd do it. You know, you didn't know how you was going to do ministry, but God, you had faith that I would do it. Now we get down there, oh God, Teresa's acting up, that's my wife. Oh God, well, we was doing good at the church while she was walking in the Spirit. I was doing good, God, I was excited. God, man, I knew she was the devil's daughter. I tried to convince you, God. I know I'm making it funny. No, what do? I stand like Moses and Jesus. If things are not favorable in my house, if things are not favorable in the church, if half of y'all are getting bad thoughts towards one another and y'all kind of, some of you smell like a little skunk spray. And I have to just stand and say, no weapons formed against us will prosper, God. Satan ain't bringing me out of faith. I remember my first love, but God down there. And he's able to move mountains for me. And I've rolled back Red Seas for me and bring breakthroughs for me and miracles for me. And I'm not going to get up here to the promises of God and say them giants in there are too big. Caleb and Joshua, they sent the spies in there and they come out. And most of the church, a lot of the church today, is listening through fear. They're listening through their need and their lack of power and ability. They're listening to the enemy like God can't roll back a Red Sea for them. But Caleb and Joshua come out. I would imagine they probably said, y'all shut up. I mean, here they're out there. We're here. I know there's stupid giants in there. I've seen them. I've seen them with my own eye. What about your finances? I'm not talking about them over there. We ain't over there. They done dead gone. They got to go into promises, right? And we want it. We're the generation down here, bless God. We're not going to get to the edge of the promised land. I'm talking about your finances, your marriage. I'm talking about your kids. I'm talking about their future. I'm talking about your ministry and what you're able to do for Jesus Christ. That you look in there and you say, we ain't got the money. We don't need the money. All we need is faith in God, Jesus said in Mark 11, right? All we need is faith in God. Jesus said it, Mark 11, 22. See, and when our will is to do the will of God, we'll have God's desire in here. We won't have fleshly desires. You know, we think we need a pontoon boat so we can be happy part-time. I need a convertible. So there's nothing wrong with all of that, folk. But God, I'll buy you one. I mean, I'm just saying that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the material stuff. But if our heart has to be to do the will of God before it. It's got to be before it. We've got to be willing to get. Teresa talked about that. She was full of pride. That nice truck, I put her big tips. We slept in the car married. We took a bath in the river. We made sure nobody wasn't swimming because we carried Dial with us, Dial soap or something. So when it's bubbling up and you got soap just floating down the river, you're not going to go in front of a bunch of people. They're like, what are they doing? I smell soap. Y'all smell that? And then we come up here and we come over here. That's all of us. You hear me? That's all of it. We come up here and Jesus, he promises us a better life. In that Bible. You know, and we come up here and then we say, God, is it okay if we have another car? I'm driving an old 70-something model pickup, Chevy, square body. You know, rusted out. Must have been up north. And fenders were nearly, the bed was nearly rusted off of the thing. And it had a car drivetrain in it. You know, truck put a, it had been a swap. They call it a swap today, I guess. And I'm driving that thing, you know, and it's in August. I'm going to the jails. You know, I'd surrendered my Sundays after church. Not going home anymore. I'd surrendered them to the Lord to go to church. I didn't go jumping in ministry and quitting church. That's not God. I don't care what they do. I know you're quiet, but you're learning. God called me into ministry and he didn't tell me to quit that church. He told me to be faithful there. He told me to be more dedicated to it than I was the ministry had put me in. Because, see, I didn't know, although I'm anointed, I'm telling you, 6 months old, I cast the devil out. But God, I done found out I've been given power. Transferred into this kingdom. But I didn't know, brother, that I didn't know nothing. All I knew was Jesus. All I knew was I'm called. I didn't know nothing. So I go in there, you know, and man, you know, I think, man, I got to be faithful at church. How many knows that's God's will for you? Be faithful where God wants you. You find where God wants you. People have told me this, and I will not bite the bullet, and I will not teach it. It don't matter where you go to church. Well, I disagree. I find all through the Scripture that God planted them. He said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. He said, it is He that plants. He told Jesus where to go. He told Paul where to go. He told them where to go. He could have said, let's go over there where there's nobody over there. Over here where we're at. He was over in the Middle East. Let's cross the... He could have said, okay, guys, we've been wanting to go on a vacation in our ministry. So let's go across the ocean. No, Jesus said, I don't go nowhere according to him. I do nothing lest I hear the Father. Right? And so, man, I got to get on this. I got to. Was that being good? That was some good stuff, wasn't it? Endeavor. The Lord spoke to me a few days ago, which I already knew it, but he's just stirring it up. He said, when you endeavor, an individual, my sons and daughters, talking about y'all and me, he said, when your heart is set out to do my will and willing to follow me, he said, I can lead you, he said, and I'll lead you where? In a straight path. He said, your path will get brighter and brighter to you. You will know. You will begin to know this is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. And when you find the will of God, then you found the faith of God, because it is the word of God to you, just like it was Peter when he couldn't walk on the water and God sent him a word. That will be to you power. Power. Okay, I've got to get on this. Give me that scripture. I believe it's John, Matthew, whatever it's at, Beth, about forgiveness. Go back up. You didn't get the other, did you? Okay. No, that's fine. Okay, Jesus had been teaching the disciples and all of that. They come down and Peter goes to Jesus. And he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven? Now, tradition, I think, about three times is all they'd forgive you. But he said, so I guess Peter will stretch it a little. And he said, 70 times seven, Peter. Oh, you got it? Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He said, till seven times? It's Peter asking Jesus. Jesus said to him, I say unto you, thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king. And he began to tell him a parable. A king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10 talents. Go ahead, Beth. But for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have enough to pay him, went to get his money, and he didn't have enough to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, sell your family. I'm going to sell y'all and the family and pay my debt. I want the debt paid. He said, had and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. When the Lord of that servant was moved with the compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. But the same servant, the same one that he forgave all of his debt, this very same guy, he gets up. I want you to understand that. This is the same guy that had just been forgiven everything. He said, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pieces and laid his hands on him, took him by the throat. I'm going to beat you and mud hole in you. You're going to pay. He's mad. Same guy. He said, put his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest me. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying the same way he had done, have patience with me, I will pay thee all, and would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now give me those other two scriptures, Beth. There it is. And in his wrath, now he had just talked about all of that, okay? And then Jesus said, this is your God that I'm talking about now, Jehovah God. Peter had asked him, remember? Don't forget the story. Peter asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 490 times a day. 490 times a day. And he told him that. And then he went on, the same one he'd forgive. And then he didn't forgive. And this is what God was telling Peter this will happen. And in his wrath turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. So also my heavenly Father will deal with you, every one of you, if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. Bless God, that's stout. I don't care if it was your daddy molested you. I don't care what your mama and them did to you. Your wife did to you. Women did to you. Men did to you. Look, every one of us, God is saying, listen to me. I have forgive you all your sins. I have forgive you all your wrongdoings. I have forgive you all the baggage and the stuff that you have hurt people, you have done to people, you have hurt and all of that. You came to me and you said, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. Lord, come into my heart. And he forgave you all of them. He forgave you all. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, he said, my kingdom is voluntary. He said, you do it because you want to. You follow me because you want to. He said, but if you don't want to, you will have torturers. You will have demonic spirits that'll lead you into bondage. I want to tell you, I want to read this to you. Because we got to unload the truck, but I could preach this all day long. Been in me for 3 or 4 days. The Lord spoke to me. See, Jesus made it, that's 490 times. Jesus made it endless to Paul, to Peter, right here. He made it like to Peter, it's endless. You can't put a limit on forgiveness. They done it to me 3 times. Don't put a limit. That's why I say, and I practiced it and thought and meditated on it back under, you know, and I say it here at this church, forgive before they ever do anything to you. Somebody told me, well, I don't know who's going to do something to me. It don't matter, just forgive them. Just have a heart prepared. Bless God, hallelujah, no matter what you do to me, the world does to me, the church does to me, the members does to me, my sister does to me, my mama, my cousins, the world, Lucky's, Walmart, no matter, cut you off, cuss you out. I get bird shot and I'm a holy man. They shoot a holy man birds. And I don't have to go to Jesus, why me, Lord, why me? This God-forsaken world. God ain't forsook this world. No, me and you are the light of this world. That's why we can't hold on to unforgiveness. We got to forgive those who have wronged us. Forgive those who have hurt you. Forgive those who will wrong you in the future. Don't put limits on forgiveness. If it happens over and over and over, it did to Jesus. It did to Jesus. But you don't know how it hurts. Oh, no, I don't. But God does. Jesus knows. He said he carried that hurt for you. Read your Bible in Isaiah 55, 53. I carried those pains. I carried those sorrows. I carried all your sin. I carried all of that for you, so I know how you feel. He would tell you today, I know all of what you have been done wrong to you came on me. I felt it. I felt those crown of thorns. I felt those stripes on my back. I felt it. I felt carrying the cross. I felt the rejection when the scribes and the Pharisees rejected me. I felt that rejection when I went to my own and they received me not, but whoever believes on to them gave him power to become the sons of God. He would say today, I understand your feelings and your emotions. I understand that that's what following me is. It means that you're going to have to deny your feelings and deny your emotions, deny your rights to be angry and to do these things. Deny your right. We ain't got time to have unforgiveness and anger and bitterness and let Satan just pull a card for us and then we come out of the spirit into the flesh. He said, walk in the spirit and I won't walk in unforgiveness. Walk by the Spirit of God. Now, you know, I read the Word of God, and I'm going to close with this. I could go on. I got four pages. I'm reading my Bible, and I'm a young convert, and I'm reading about Jesus because they said, just go read about Jesus. And I said, well, I'm going to read about Jesus. So I'm reading about Jesus, Mac, and I'm just telling you honest God's truth. I'm not satisfied with that. But before Christ, see, none of that. After you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says you're a new creation, right? You hadn't been before. That old man died, the Bible says. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creation, and all things are of God. Now, that tells me that that's not me anymore. Once I give my heart to Jesus that day, I'm living a new life. I'm living as a new man now. I don't even really know it, but I am. So I hate people. There's some people I hate on this planet. Hate. Before Christ. But after I get born again, I'm trying to forget all that. Let's go to church. Let's go to church, baby. But if I still see some guy looking at her, I might squash him with a car bumper into the Coke box, you know. They better not look through the window at her, man. I mean, you can tell why. She's beautiful. Still is. Well, then I'm in there and I'm reading in there Jesus, where he told him, he said, love your enemies. I shut the Bible in my living room. I shut it. I said, I don't like that. And so I go down, try to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, you say amen. And that thought, that scripture had come up. I got up off my knees and I said, Satan, leave me alone. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to talk to God. I get back down there. I'm praying again. It comes up again. About third, fourth time, I thought, my God, Satan, leave me alone. And then all of a sudden, Mac, I realized that's the Word of God. That's Jesus talking to me. And so I said, oh, Lord, that's not fair. It's just not fair. Lord, I can't love them. I cannot love them. Your mind will tell you you can't, but the Bible says me and you can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens Scotty to do it if I embrace it. And so the Lord, he spoke to me and he said, my word is not to destroy you. He said, my word, if you will embrace that and get in agreement with that, he said, my word will set you free. He said, it'll set you free. Didn't Jesus say it? He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, he said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. That word is trying to come into my heart and set me free from unforgiveness, from anger, from jealous of my wife. My wife, I'm not jealous of her now. I told her, well, I'm so confident in God that he'll keep her. God, I mean, you know, I could imagine somebody hitting on her, you know, and her falling for it and all of that one time and trying to torment me. And I told Satan, I said, I double dog dare somebody to come get her. I said, "Let God let him come in his Mustang with the top down, his hair blowing all the way back to the bumper, blonde headed dude. Let him come in there, but God." I said, "I done gave her to my God, and my God." I said, "That dude will pay me to take her back, cause it takes God's anointing and power." Well, I know me and her really know it's true what I'm saying. We can't live together without Jesus. We can't. We couldn't before, we can't after. So you know what? Satan lost all of his power. When I started walking in love, all of that unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and jealousy, all of that began to go because I chose to walk in love without knowing that's what I was doing. I chose to walk in the love of God. I love God and I'm going to forgive him. You know what? Brother, today I don't have not one enemy. I'm sure do, but to my knowledge. And if I find out somebody, a human, is mad at me, some reason, whatever, on this planet, in my arena, I'll look and see if it's okay with God, and I'll call them up, and I'll bust them with $100. Had somebody mad at me one time, and God said, I got to close. God said, "Hey," he said, "Didn't Paul say to overcome evil with good?" I said, "He did." I said, "He sure did." He said, you called that person up. I was wondering if he was even going to answer the phone. And it wasn't really nothing I did. They perceived it. And so he said, "Give them $100. I thought, man, I don't want to give them $100. Let them repent first. That's not how this works. See, the enemy might have them, and your love will set them free. Why? We take up serpents, right? We cast out devils. Well, I give that person $100. That's been 2 or 3 years. I don't reckon they've ever been mad at me again. Till today, they've never been mad at me again. Now, I could have said, "Boy, I'm a pastor. What's wrong with them? I'm a preacher. God, I'm just trying and get unforgiveness toward them for getting mad at me for mean nothing." Whether it is real for them, we have no, as the body of Christ, legitimate reason to hold on to unforgiveness. Get rid of it. Dump it. Don't go another day. I don't care what they did to you. I do, but I don't. I mean, I didn't mean that way. It's about your freedom. You get free. They're living life. You get free. You get free from it because you can't follow Jesus with it. It stops your faith, your joy, your peace, your vision. It stops you from going to the promised land. Your promises. Let's bow our head. Father, we just praise you and I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit.